And we're live. I'm on the Hoops Podcast Show, the freshest opinions and views on the world's most beautiful game. I'm your host, Greg. I'm here with the homies, Brian, TK. Leek is not here, but shout out to the homie in his absence, boys. How we feeling?
Feeling good. Well, I'm feeling good. A little bit of melancholy, though. Like, gotta go back to work on Monday.
Yeah. You had the extended break. I was right at work. I didn't have any of the kids to deal with, but I definitely was in there trying to get my whole life together.
I don't know what a school building is anymore, to be truly honest. It's been too long.
Bro, when you come back from break and you don't know how to do your job no more? It's crazy.
Sad, man.
So you're not ready for the kids?
I got one more day to get ready.
Hey, that's why we stay ready, so we don't never have to get ready.
Facts. So let's get ready. Let's get into this pod. This is sad start. I normally don't like to start off with sad news, but his respect, and I guess our respect for this man is definitely due. David Stern passed at 77. We talked about how his health was kind of taking a hit after he had a brain hemorrage.
Yeah.
But he has passed. Commissioner of the NBA for 30 plus years, I believe, really changed the way the NBA is looked at as an organization, as a league across the board.
He globalized the game
completely. So our prayers first go out to David Stern, but I always talk about how he was a part of the perfect storm that transcended the NBA into what it is now. What do y'all make of that? Like, what do y'all make of the perfect storm that he kind of drove?
So, I mean, he took over as commissioner in 1984. I mean, there's the perfect storm. Magic Johnson had literally just entered the league along with Larry Bird. Michael Jordan had literally just been drafted. So, I mean, it was this perfect storm of circumstances. You had this remarkable group of guys. And David Stern had a vision. And I applaud anybody who has a vision and then they carry it out. He marketed Magic Johnson versus Larry Bird.
Big time.
Primarily. That drew the fans in, made the NBA much more watchable, much more enjoyable in the United States first. And then once they got the game to a certain level, he turned all eyes to Michael Jordan. And Michael Jordan made the game global along with David Stern. And then, of course, you know about the Dream Team and everything of that nature. I mean, he had a perfectly planned vision, and he executed it as well as anybody possibly could. So you got to commend him for that.
Most definitely, most definitely.
You said it all. Everything that he's been as a commissioner. Of course, like while he was there, we're going to generally highlight the negatives. That's with anybody in a position of power. You're going to look at whatever we believe they're doing wrong. But now that, you know, we can take a look back at his whole life and whole career and how he affected the NBA, what he was doing is in no short part one of the main driving forces into why the NBA is so popular today. With all the rules, with the way he had guided the vision, everything he did was always in the best interest of the league. And I can say, like, legitimately every decision that he made, he, 90% of them, I think 100% of them, he definitely thought this is best for the league. Probably 95% of them worked out to be the best decision for the league. So it wasn't just him making decisions about what he wanted to do or how he felt. They actively showed positive results. So you can never disagree with facts.
Yeah, I think one of the things that you mentioned on, like, people like to highlight the negatives, people definitely were highlighting the negatives around David Stern, I think around, like, 2000, 2001. Mm-hmm. I think that's where he added the dress code
around the early 2000s.
All of that. And granted, even for those who say, like, there were moments where David Stern kind of tried to dampen the league with too many rules or whatever, I think there was always good intentions behind what he was doing, trying to provide more professionalism to it.
Absolutely.
Trying to show that these guys and these athletes are more than just, you know, hoopers, but, you know, these are actual professionals and they come here and they work, they do their job.
It's an image thing.
Yeah,
and
so
he definitely changed the image of the league. Like, when he took over, the NBA was known for being, for lack of a better term, it was a drug-fueled league, majority black players that at the time people did not like. He changed image. He made these guys marketable. He made the NBA marketable. So, yeah, did he sometimes try to push those bounds or try to, I guess, dampen individuality a little bit? Probably a little bit, but it worked out.
Right.
At the end of the day, that's the fact.
Like I said, like, we can all be angry in the moment, but you can't be mad at the grand scheme when you look back and you say, well, actually now the fact that he did this helped market everybody to the world. Mind you, because in black culture, we saw it as an issue like you're just policing our culture.
Right.
But in reality, we have to realize that we are a minority. So globally, if we're going to be presented in a way where we can receive opportunities overseas or right. endorsements or whatever, whatever, it would be nice to, I guess, code switch or conform to a way where more people are more accepting of us. I mean, sure, like, that's not in direct relation. That's not the best thing ever. Like, you could should just be able to be you, but this isn't a perfect world. And some of his rules definitely help that. Like, even with him making issues with, like, player movement.
Right.
Because that was another big one. I remember he had got a question about some players like forcing their way out and demanding trades. And he would respond like they did 7-8 years with the team that drafted them. It is their right to try now to go or enforce wherever they want. So while everybody believed that David Stern was so strict and everything like that, he was so against the players, that's not true at all. He just did whatever he believed was best for the league. And he did it better than any commissioner I can think most of off the top of my head, like, ever.
I can't think of any commissioner in any sport. That took what he had.
Greatest commissioner ever. Greatest commissioner ever.
Yes. And I think one of the things we didn't mention, but in terms of globalizing the game, adding in, like, TV networks and the market.
The WNBA.
Looking at how he pretty much transformed the bags kids were getting. What Larry Bird made his rookie season compared to what Zion Williamson is making right now is crazy. So I think it's amazing to see what he has done and what he has left us with. Adam Silver being the guy he had at his right hand the entire time. Yeah. It's just kind of amazing to see what he's done, and I'm appreciative. Like, I started like remembering basketball moments around, like, I say 99, 2000, and was like, yo, this is amazing what I'm looking at. And for that to be there, it required his work. It required his vision to make that possible. So
absolutely.
I'm appreciative. Thank you, David Stern.
Wait, one last thing I want to highlight that he did, like something a lot of people don't know about. So when he got his start, like I said, people that don't know, David Stern was originally a lawyer. He was part of the team that, like, allowed free agency in the NBA. He negotiated the NBA-ABA merger, and he was part of the free agency development that eventually came into place. So he's literally done pretty much every major moment from the 1970s to, you could almost say, now, if you really wanted to.
Yeah. And one of the things I meant that was mentioned in the article I read on The Ringer, I believe, he was still working once he had, like, pretty much...
Yeah, he didn't have the title, but he still kept a lot of responsibility.
Absolutely. Who's going to tell David Stern to leave?
So I think that's, like, awesome to see. Like, this guy just never really let go of the game. Loved it. And, yeah, like I said, thank you, David Stern. We appreciate it. Prayers condolences to his family. I know this is a hard loss. I know this is difficult to lose anybody. And me saying that doesn't make it easier, but we do truly, truly thank you for lending us that great man. So let's move on. All-star votes are already out. And
you know whose name I didn't see on that list?
Whose name you didn't see?
Fred VanVleet.
Okay. Once again, this is fan voting. Coaches make the reserves. So
it is fan voting. It is fan voting.
We'll
and
see. I saw Alex Caruso on this list. So, I mean, I'm not putting too much stock in it yet.
One of the things we could talk about, the globalization, the two top vote getters right now are both from other countries.
Yeah, foreigners.
Luka Doncic and Giannis.
They get the vote too.
Yeah, they do. They do. And the world is definitely putting their stamp on it, because I tell you, I wasn't prepared. I just knew LeBron was going to be at the top.
I knew he wasn't, strictly because Luka's in the MVP race. Giannis is the current leading reigning MVP. And we saw it last year in the major NBA awards. MVP, Defensive Player of the Year, Most Improved, foreigners. They ran it. So am I really surprised that we might have two foreign captains this year? Not really.
I mean, like I said, people overseas get the vote too. Like, that's so not only, this is the thing people got to realize when you have foreign war players. Yao Ming did this for a while when he was here. He was leading, or top vote getting in the front court at least. Mm-hmm. He was here. You not only are going to get the votes from your city that you're playing for. Like, Luka's going to get the Dallas
vote. He's getting them Greece votes.
He's getting, well, Luka's getting Europe votes.
I thought you said Giannis, my bad.
Giannis is going to get the Greece votes. Like, they're going to get votes from essentially two different categories. LeBron's going to get votes from L.A., so on and so forth, so on and so forth. And granted, while they are the most popular players, and they're going to get votes from all over, of course, mm-hmm. it's just the fact that you have a large fan base somewhere else that's just going to spam the vote button for you. Like, I can guarantee people in Europe are spamming the vote button for Luka. And they should, because he's amazing.
Most definitely. Most definitely. And I don't think I'm surprised by what this was. I really did assume LeBron would get it just because it's LeBron. Because
generally he does get it. But there's a year that he's not going to get it is this year.
We'll see. Like, there's still a lot of time left. I think a lot of people are going to see this and they're going to start spamming for LeBron.
That's what I thought too. Like, when he was coming in second in the West, it was like, like everybody's going to amp it up. But what I actually saw, and I'm trying to figure out if he's going to get the All-Star vote, which I hope he does, even though his team's doing horrible, is Trae Young.
Yeah.
He's up there. He's actually first.
But yeah, that's in the fan guards. Voting. Of course, like, we're going to have other stages of voting as well. But 28-8, like, I don't care how bad your team is doing.
Hooping.
Like,
he's hooping.
He's the worst defender. Your second year. Like, he's the worst.
What's the slogan? NBA. Defense, me fence. Like, 28-8.
The rules not say.
I mean, I get
basketball.
It. Yo, I want to see
Steph Curry wasn't guarding anybody.
Steph Curry is actually a very average NBA defender by all metrics. So I hate when people say Steph Curry is a bad defender. He's an average
on-ball defender. That's
an average on-ball defender. He's an average NBA defender by all maxes. You cannot find me any stat number that proves otherwise. You can pull up film. You can pull up film and you're not going to be able to prove me otherwise. If he's getting
film everywhere.
What? You can pull up. Oh, he's getting scored on by James Harden. James Harden averages 40. So he gives everybody 40.
Somebody's testy.
No, because I don't like that narrative that Steph Curry is a bad defender. He's not. He's average. He just looks bad when you put him next to Klay Thompson, Andre, Draymond, and KD. Four all-world defenders, then you put an average defender. Who are we going to pick on?
We only got
one option.
I hear you. I ain't listening. Shout out Trae.
Trae does die on screens. I mean, die.
Oh, no. Yeah. He collapses.
He dies everywhere.
But granted, I can say this. If I'm Trae Young and you have, like, I have the option of, like, carrying the entire offensive load, but on the backside, I'm trying to play D2, I'm not doing it. I don't have enough energy. I don't care.
Hey,
like, I'm looking at my teammates. Like, I'm like, yo, you're not going to score on one end. Like, boy, you better slide over and help when this guy blows past me.
And at that point, the rules change. It's not me trying to stop you from scoring. It's me trying to score more than you at that point.
Exactly.
And sometimes, like, when you look at Trae and his team, that's how he feels sometimes. He's
He did it. He tried to do it last night with Boston. Yeah,
they won't have it. Marcus Smart won't have it.
Hey, Tice. If Tice was bad. 1 centimeter short off,
that was going in. I believe it.
It was a great defensive play as well because Trae did create the separation. Yeah, but he had the longer defender on him mm-hmm. who could make
he
up
the
space.
He anticipated the shot too. Like I said, if he was a second late or a centimeter short,
we're talking about Trae just hit a game winner.
It was a great move, great defense.
So I really just hope he makes that All-Star game, regardless about how bad the Atlanta Hawks are.
I think he's playing too well in such a bad circumstance.
One of the worst circumstances to be in the NBA right now.
So I don't know who. I mean, Alex Caruso, I guess, is a sleeper.
He's not. And mind you, like, it's entertaining or whatever. Fans keep voting for him, but
what's the votes looking like? Because I'm really not sure.
I mean,
Alex Caruso got more votes than Devin Booker.
And Ja Morant.
And is Devin Booker still averaging 50, 40, 90?
Yes.
Probably.
Averaging 50, 40, 90, I think on 24.6.
I'm calling it 25.
I'm looking it up. He's not averaging 50, 40, 90 right now. He's averaging 50, 36, and 90. Close enough.
He had a down game.
But yeah, he's averaging 25, 4, and 6. Like, having a great year.
But Taco Fall got more votes.
Yeah, Taco Fall.
Kids are playing. All
right, here's the thing about the Eastern Conference, though. And Jalen Rose said something that some people took offense to, but might be a little true. There's only legit maybe seven legit All-Stars in the East. Like, legit.
Legit. We're just talking health?
These just period.
Period?
Well, yeah, I mean, if we're talking...
That are playing this year.
Oh, yeah, I was about to say. Because clearly Kyrie's an All-Star, he's out. KD's an All-Star, he's out.
Like, that are playing... Like, I even put Kyrie in the category.
So, of in this year?
In this year. I'll put him in... Granted, he's not playing, but I'll put him in the category.
I was going to say, because he got a lot of votes.
Six.
I'll say six or seven. So I said six or seven.
Giannis.
Joel.
Ben.
Jimmy.
Oh, this...
I'll give you Pascal this year.
Siakam. Okay. Definitely is an all-star this year.
Oh, this is Kyrie gives you six.
If you think he only played half the season, but yeah.
Like I said, you want to throw him in, I give you. Who's next?
Trey.
Now we're at Trey Young.
Trey. Hey, yeah, Trey's in the game.
The worst defender on the worst team in the NBA. That's what we just got to.
You know what? This is?
That's crazy, right?
That's what we just got to.
And I bet you can. We
Kimba.
Can like,
Kimba.
Eight.
Kimba.
I'll put him ahead of Trey Young. So that's your seven. Then we're at Trey Young. Tatum, okay, he's a little iffy.
I don't care.
Jaylen Brown's a little iffy.
Granted,
they're playing great. Don't get me wrong, but like legit all star.
Devontae Graham.
he's having a
most improved player. Whoa. Yeah,
either him or Brandon. Like, him or Ingram, one or the other.
And the Ingram, thing is, I put Bam in that conversation too.
Bam is up there too.
Yeah, Bam's in there too.
I think me personally, I would give it to Brandon, but Devontae was just so much more of a shock to me.
Yeah.
So I think his shock value is probably what's going to get him his award. I'm never going to forget that
first spot. Yeah. Yeah. We went down the line. Down the whole roster.
We went down that whole roster. We said
Devontae Graham ain't going to do nothing.
Bench warmer. That's what we said. Sorry, Devontae.
We all knew he could hoop, but like I didn't think he was.
I thought he was a backup PG in the league. That's what I thought he was. He was a backup PG
in the league. In my opinion, I still think he's a backup point guard on any playoff team.
Yeah, that's true, maybe.
Like, you can start with the Hornets, but... Y'all not gonna do anything worth popping for.
Facts.
Yeah, so seven.
Like, maybe we're six. Seven legit all star. And then after that, you got a bunch of like, top, like I said, you got Andre Drummond.
This is how Chris Middleton.
DeMonte Sabonis.
Derrick Rose.
He's not a legit all star.
I don't care. He's gonna get in this year.
He might. He's fourth in voting right now.
He's gonna get in this year. I did compare the numbers per 36 minutes, and it was like MVP ish.
Per 36.
Per 36.
That's probably the nastiest.
Stat man.
That's the nastiest stat.
I can't stand per 36 numbers.
Nobody can, but whatever kiss I gotta make for D Rose, I will.
I really see people putting up D Rose that per 36 is MVP season. Yep. Per 36 now.
D Rose.
No, we're not doing this. We're not doing this.
Raises his kid.
Just like we're not gonna talk about Melo. Like, we're not doing this.
Shout out Melo. Hey, bro, shout out
shout out the Blazers still having a losing record with Melo.
They're eighth in the West.
I had them eighth in my preseason.
But they were
so
like 11th before he got there. They were out of the playoff picture before
they've
he got
also
there.
Beaten three teams with winning records.
I could care less.
I'm just saying, they're not a good team.
So look, I guess the West. They lapped him like two times over, I assume.
Yeah, it's bad.
I'm really curious to see who doesn't get in the West.
That's going to be interesting. Like,
I'm curious. Chris Paul gets my vote.
He should. He's not even in the top 10 in voting. Yeah, that's the crazy part.
Chris Paul gets my vote.
He might not get in, but I mind you, I put this on Twitter the other day, too. I think it was earlier today. I was like, yo, we really have to take off a hat and salute Chris Paul for great leadership this year.
Yeah.
Like, amazing leadership.
Did you ever doubt him? I didn't.
Do we have doubt him or
as a
down
leader?
Him?
Like, I've never doubted Chris Paul as like a leader. Doubted. Now, he's annoying from all accounts. Like, he gets on people's nerves because he's such a bulldog. But as a leader, like, every team he's gone to has improved. It's no denying that.
Yeah, he's very demanding.
A taskmaster. So he gets on people's nerves. But
I don't know.
Every team he goes to improves.
Chris would get my vote, but then we're looking at other guys.
Nah, like the West is just so stacked because, like, when you talk about guards,
get in four?
Dame, yeah. No,
five.
Yeah.
Maybe six.
I think they do six and six.
Yeah, I think so.
Six backcourt, six frontcourt.
Yeah.
So six.
So you got Doncic, James, Dame, Russ. That's your four right
there.
Oh,
God, we got a 100.
That's four right there.
I do not want Russ in an All Star game.
Russ is going to make the All Star game.
I know he is, but I don't want him to.
Steph isn't going to make it. He's not playing.
Yeah, he hasn't played.
Then after that, it's like D'Lo, Donovan Mitchell, Devin Booker, Chris Paul. Like, it's this lump. It's like you got four spots taken, guaranteed, and then you got all these other guys fighting for these last two. I don't know what that shakes out to.
I think the front court is pretty set.
Yeah, LeBron, AD, Kawhi, PG.
I don't know. Those last two spots are actually interesting because it comes down to Towns, Jokic, Porzingis.
Porzingis is not going to get it.
No, not Porzingis.
Who else? You name it. On this list right now, it's after Paul George, it's Towns, Porzingis, Jokic, Melo,
Ingram, and Howard. This is the fan vote.
This is fan vote. I give you, but once again, you name me the front court players that are better.
And if this is going off of not only just fan vote, but the coaches and the players get a vote, don't they? Media.
Coaches, media.
So,
I feel like the players vote. Nah, the players don't get a vote.
Yeah, I don't think players vote on this one.
So, if this is coaches, they're definitely going to take Towns and Jokic over Porzingis.
Yeah, I would say so.
So, that would be my assumption anyway.
Yeah.
But yeah, I feel like the front court is easier to kind of work through as opposed to the back court, because you're looking at so many guards.
Head coaches choose the reserves. I'm sorry.
Okay. So yeah, so
head coaches vote on the reserves.
Nah, what's gonna be really interesting is, and I'm not trying to seem like the guy who keeps trying to skip past this season, but next season when Steph and Klay come back, now this All-Star thing gets real mucky.
Oh, it gets Rudy dicey.
Because Rudy Russ Gobert is immediately out of there.
Forgot about him. Rudy Gobert, somebody that might not make it.
Defensive player of the year can't make an All-Star game. It's crazy.
It'd be like that.
It's crazy.
So, it does get dicey, though.
Yeah, when they come back.
Because we're looking... You're looking at a
that's
lot of...
That's two more guards.
You're looking at two more guards, but a lot of young guys who are starting to ascend.
Because eventually, and me and Lee actually had this conversation a lot of times, some of these young guys might have to jump ship and go east. Like, Devin Booker might not see another All-Star game for 2-3 more years. Which, and if you look at all his numbers and everything, they say, like, he should be an All-Star. Like, if you average 50, 40, 90 for a fourth of the season at least, everything says, like, oh, that guy probably should start another All-Star game. You're probably not going to make it, but someone like Russ is. Not to keep picking on Russ, but realistically, I don't think he should be an All-Star this year.
Russell's put up All-Star caliber numbers.
He has. He actually has.
Didn't we just rip him last pod for Christmas?
I mean, I can rip him again. I mean, he's averaging 24 points, 8 rebounds, 7 assists, shooting 42%, 23 from the three-point line.
We're not looking at percentages, guys. We're looking at the tallies.
Are we?
Are you talking about the wins?
No. Because
that's James.
He's on the team.
He's getting backpacked.
For now.
So, I don't know. I honestly don't know what it looks like. Because like you said, Ja Morant, he would be very high in the East. Devin Booker, very high in the East.
No, Devin Booker's a lock in the East. Like, he'll probably start in the East. Like him and Jim. Who remember Jimmy?
So
Jimmy's technically
they got him as the front court.
They got him front court. So we did our own list and we had Jimmy at the two. We did. So that always throws me off.
Yeah, I'm in front court though.
They change him differently every year. I think he was the two last year.
Mm-hmm.
So if Devin Booker goes east, he might be the best two guard in the East.
He would be.
It's him or Vic.
It's him. Yeah, well, Vic's
it's
not
him
playing
or Vic.
This
year. Yeah.
So I mean, but yeah, it'd be him, Vic, Zach LaVine.
And Zach LaVine, yeah.
Those be your two. Or your top three
Zach
shooting guards.
Probably going to get into All-Star game this year. Nope. The Bulls are pretty
close. Like, they got Ben Simmons as a guard. Like, that's the thing. So, like...
He's throwing everything off.
He just needs to jump ship, and they just need to move him down to the front court, and they need to actually bring in a guard.
Dame Lillard. No, let me stop.
Jrue Holiday.
I don't know if he works with... Like, they need a shooter. They need a floor spacer. That's the only reason I don't like Jrue. You feel like Jrue fits anywhere just because of his game. Like, you feel like you could literally just...
I mean, he takes care of his wife. Like, I'm never going to doubt Jrue.
Oh, no. I love Jrue Holiday. Don't get me wrong. Like, his game... Like I said, his game feels like you can put him anywhere. I just think Philly needs a shooter. They need somebody...
And I think we keep saying they need a shooter because Ben is playing point.
Yeah.
That's the issue. If Ben moves down to the three or the four...
Yeah, I don't know. Philly got a lot of questions.
I feel like
They had another clunker, low key.
I feel you.
Versus Houston, and
they lost four straight.
Brett Brown is on ice, bro. He's on ice.
hey, they keep giving them rosters that don't make sense. It's always hard for me to blame a coach in that scenario.
I'm not blaming him. I'm not blaming
him. I agree with you, though. He's in trouble.
I bet you Elton Brand is up in the front office saying, why isn't this working? When you've heard a bunch of times and from other players, I think Horford said it. He was like, yo, I'm still trying to figure out where I fit.
Nobody knows where they fit.
Like, I'm still trying to figure out, you know, where I'm supposed to stand out here.
And I'm telling you that is because your point guard can't throw a rock in the ocean. Like, it's really hard when you get to shrink. When you get to shrink the court like that.
I mean, yeah, it's going to be not really hard to find
spacing as an off the ball player.
So, did anybody else hear Joel Embiid call out Ben Simmons?
No, I didn't actually.
Yeah. Was it after the game?
It was after they lost.
Who you talking, Clint Capella?
I don't know if he's talking. Like, he was talking. It was a media session.
Never mind. I saw a clip. He said, it's not me. Like, he was talking to Clint Capella. Like, it wasn't me. Mm-hmm. But I thought he was taking shots at somebody. I didn't know who, though.
He was definitely taking shots. He was essentially saying something. Yep, here it is. Computer is slow. All right. Here's the only bit. So his quote was, we just got to look at ourselves and see what we can do individually. We've got to help each other, even if it means being outside your comfort zone for the greater good to help the team win. Meaning if you've got the space and – if you've got to space and shoot it,
shoot
you've
the J.
got to do it.
Shoot the J. We need everybody I told to you. Buy
into that and we'll be fine.
Shoot the J.
Like, not saying names, but we all know who you're talking about.
Oh, shoot the J.
Well.
Which means his teammates are starting to get a little frustrated with Ben Simmons.
Everybody
like, hey, man.
Is. Stop trying to force this point guard situation. Like, I understand you see the
point
floor.
Guard, you shoot it. If he shoots, he can play the point.
But you can't be up there. You can't be at the top of the key. Like, legitimately, if we stop Ben, like, stop his momentum, like, high, like, at the logo or something like that, and then we can all just start increasingly fall back. Like, there's, if I can play my man 10 feet away, of course Al Horford is not going to know where to go. You can't even set a screen for that.
You can't even.
So Ben just, at this point, Ben is just bringing the ball up and getting it out of his hands. Like, that's not being a point guard.
It ain't.
He's literally like.
And the thing is, like, I'm kind of done giving, like, we gave him the LeBron comparison so much.
Yeah.
I can't give him that anymore. It's like.
You heard what Jay Williams called him? A souped up Draymond Green.
Oh, that's nasty.
That's what he called him.
But
Jay Williams called him a souped up Draymond Green.
That's how
more athletic.
Looking. That's how, like, honestly, that's really how it's looking.
Because it's just not there. It's
even
not
Draymond's
there.
Willing to shoot it.
And that's the crazy part. Remember, there was Draymond like two seasons where everybody five, was like, bro. Oh, Draymond can at least hit the three sometimes. Like, it was to the point where we've seen Draymond close out games. Well, not close
out
games.
He did it on Christmas Day. He knocked down like three.
He'll hit like a dagger with a tray. Like, he's willing to at least shoot the ball.
Shoot with confidence. Yep. He'll shoot it with confidence.
And at this point, nobody's asking Ben to shoot 40 plus from three. No. We're just saying make people at least like think like, he might.
I don't even know if he needs a three anymore. If he could literally just one dribble pull up 18-footer, boom.
Rondo figured that out.
And Rondo can shoot threes now. I never thought I'd see today Rondo shoot 35% from three.
Yeah, like Rondo's willing to put it up.
Rondo would step in, shoot, especially when he was in Boston.
Yeah.
Like when they started
going.
They
start sagging on the screen.
Because that's what happened.
Take that extra dribble. Yeah.
Bang. I'm like, that's it. Like, that's it.
So all you got to do. Take the high school three. That's all you got to do.
Knock that down.
And if you can't hit that, Ben, we got to ship you out. No, real life.
Or you gotta play power forward, bro. One or the other.
You have to move, and he has to play power forward anyway. And I said, since Al Horford's on his roster, like, maybe you have the luxury of sliding Ben to the three, but you cannot be in my backcourt, Ben, if you cannot hit a jumper.
Man, I said
like
it.
It'd be one thing if we already had shooters all around you. So like,
but
it's
they
one thing,
did, and they traded them.
But it's like one thing when you have like somebody like Andre Roberson, right?
Yeah.
Not to compare Ben and Andre Roberson. I'm just talking about their shooting.
Mm-hmm.
He wasn't throwing pebbles and ponds. Like, yeah,
but we didn't
it
need
just
him
happens
to.
That you didn't need him to because you had KD on a wing and you had people that were able to stretch the floor to some degree. Or mm-hmm. at least had somebody like Russell Westbrook willing to shoot the ball.
Fact.
Because we keep talking about
how
Russ.
Definitely willing.
Yeah, Russ can't. Nah, he's not knocking down shots at
any clip. Like, it's ridiculous. Like,
but the thing is with Russ is, it's almost, he's almost playing the numbers. Granted,
yeah, he needs to slow it down a little bit sometimes.
But I'm not saying that I disagree with that. But he's playing the numbers. He's saying, okay, I shot bad 3 nights in a row, 4 nights in a row. Well, one of these games,
supreme confidence.
I'm gonna go 5 for 8.
Supreme confidence.
And that's the game we'll win by 15-25.
Yeah, but you just lost 4 games in a row, right?
No, we won't lose. They won't lose because Harden holds it down.
See, he has the luxury of that. He has somebody that can go for cups. Like, Ben doesn't have that. He doesn't have a perimeter guy that can really get busy. No, when he had like somebody like Jimmy on the team, who I think they really hurt like by not being able to keep him around, he was able to slide a little bit more.
A lot of people have been talking in Philly. Josh Richardson came up. He said something about the Philly situation, saying guys they're not committed or, you know, the energy's off in the locker room.
It's not
friction there.
And
it can combust really easily.
Yeah.
Like,
the two best players, Joel,
they don't care what
anyone says. Joel Embiid is...
You're keeping him.
I'm trying to find the right word for him. He's not sensitive, but he's like...
I mean, he wears his heart on his sleeve.
Yeah, I would say he's vocal.
Yeah, he's going to let you know who he is, what he's about. Like, he's not scared of the moment or...
He's emotional. I wouldn't even call it sensitive. Yeah, he's emotional. You're allowed to be, and a lot of people are supposed to be when you actually put, like, your heart and your all into your craft. We see, like, Embiid when he's completely healthy, and when he plays, like Christmas Day Embiid. This is why a lot of people say, like, he could be one of the best. They were saying he could develop into the best person to play in the league, which I don't think so. But you can see the ability there right there.
I just said I don't think so because I'm picking the field.
I got you.
But you can see the ability there for him to be the number one person in the game in 2-3 years.
Right.
But with Ben, it's like, he seems so stagnant. I don't think Ben has gotten better since he's entered the league.
I think the only place he's gotten better is defensively.
And everybody has to do that when you enter the league. Like, that's a given. So. That's a given.
We'll find out about Trae Young. But.
Get him a little bit of help.
He'll need
to. I'm just joking.
Score more than everybody else, Trae.
That's all I'm
asking. I agree. Ben has,
I'm going to say this. If you swap Ben and Trae right now, I didn't even think about that till just now. But if you swap Ben and Trae right now, where Trae has the defensive help around him, and he can stretch from 40 out.
Yeah.
His passing.
He's a great passer.
He's an amazing passer.
Great passer. Probably top three in the league, low key.
Yeah, you put Ben Simmons on a bunch of teams.
And I was talking to Leek. Me and Leek had like a 2-hour argument yesterday because we was talking about how Ben needs help. Mm. He was like,
don't need help. He needs a jumper.
Oh, not Ben. I mean, Trae needs help. Oh. And like, blah, blah, blah. It was a 2-hour argument where we couldn't see eye to eye. Yeah. But the thing I did say, I don't know how we got onto it, but I was like, people always compare like Ben and Bron. I was like, Trae is way closer to Steph than Ben is closer to Bron.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
right now. Mind you, second year in the league, 28-8. I think when you realize, like, a player is that talented, like, you don't wait it out and play the long game with draft picks. You get him help now. When Mark Cuban saw Luka after that first year, he was like, yep, we're on go. And immediately tried to get him help.
I think the...
But that's getting off topic, too.
The difficulty with Atlanta is that... They're not really a free agency destination. It's a good
It's a popping city, but I see what you mean.
But it's not
It's never been like at the top of anybody's list.
And to start with that, it's an organizational issue. Like, you got to make the players want to play with you.
Isn't bad either, from what I've heard. Like, I haven't heard of them, like, people speak ill on the organization.
Like, when you're mid tier, you're not going to get free agents.
So, here's, like, I get it. We all want to see Trae Young with more talent. Let's also keep in mind, Trae Young is 21. Like, he hasn't even hit his prime.
I don't think we got to rush this.
Exactly. Like, people want to, and I get what you're saying. Like, you see a guy who's talented, and you want to see him automatically. Like, really, what could you get Trae Young right now that would make them?
You can't, and that's what I was saying. I was like, I would rather everybody be patient, pump the brakes.
Exactly.
But if Trae Young is looking at you like, nope, I need it now, eventually you're going to have to appease the superstar in some kind of way.
No,
not really. A guy on a rookie contract.
Exactly.
And that's what I was saying, but we've seen it so much now when people, I'm not going to say nobody has the ability to force their way out on a rookie contract, but everybody's going
to
do
this. He technically does not have a way to force himself out for like the next 3 years. Six. Mm. He's a only way.
He's restricted, but like I said,
he would have to turn down $150 million.
Right. And he's not going to do that.
Exactly. But you can so give, he's stuck.
You
for
can
six
give
years.
You can give an organization such a headache when they're just like, yo, like we're going to get the
you can't like back. How are you going to do
gonna
that?
Do just. What not play, do? Not cast the checks?
No, no, you're going to cast them checks.
So what are you going to do?
You're going to become an play? Issue. You're going to become a headache.
What type of headache?
I don't know.
There is nothing you can say.
Every if you do, here's the thing about if he does so that, he's ruining his own reputation.
Like, he probably would. He probably would.
That's a tough gamble ruin your reputation this early.
Hey,
I would like.
As a good example, and granted, he's not 21.
Antonio Brown?
Exactly. And he's easily, right now, but if he laced up cleats right now, still the best he's receiver the best in the receiver in the game.
Oh, no.
Yeah. This ain't a football podcast.
Nah,
real quick, with the way I've seen Michael Thomas hoop and the way I've been seeing D-Hop, yo, I'm not just going to give that to AB. I'm just not going to do that off rip.
First you said Michael Thomas hoop. But that's okay.
Oh, it's because we're a basketball podcast.
I understand. AB. I'm sorry.
Yeah, I'm going with AB. On AB.
And it's not because he was a Steeler.
Dumb Man Key said, we here, so we here. But back on track, yeah. I would love to see, like, I would, this hypothetical, and I love how all our trade scenarios always revolve around getting bent out of the league. We started off like pod number two. We
really had nothing to do with Ben for me. I want to see Joel Embiid unleashed.
And he can't play that way because he can't do anything. Like, Ben, exactly. If you ever watch this podcast, Ben, put this in the hoop from 28 feet out just a couple of times. Like, oh, or at least from 18 feet out.
Oh my God.
Everybody over here can do it. It's frustrating, man. He has such Hall of Fame talent, but it just seems like he's such a beta, and that's irritating.
I can shoot too, Greg. You ain't got more leg. I can shoot, you can shoot, we get it.
That's irritating, man.
That's crazy. Ah, man. But y'all did mention trade rumors revolving around the Hawks. One of the people they've been looking at is Andre Drummond.
This was the argument me and Leek had last night.
So I'm actually curious, and I think Detroit is looking to ship out everybody, really. I think they're tired of being mid. And that's because the new owner, he's been owner for, I think, 2-3 years now. Mm-hmm. He's been really, really pressed about saying, we don't want to be
bad.
A rebuild team. We don't want to.
And I can respect that. He doesn't want to have a losing franchise, but I think he realizes now.
Hey, you keep doing the same thing over and over.
You're just
going to
end up barely making the playoffs or barely missing it.
Exactly. So I think Andre Drummond, Blake, is all going to be a new home before February.
I don't think Blake is. Nobody wants that contract.
Yeah, that contract is huge. And mind you, the only way I can really see it happening with the way Blake hooped last year.
Have you seen Blake hoop this year?
He was dealing with injuries this year, wasn't he?
Oh, both. So you're going to trade with an injury prone player.
You got a point. You got a point. I'm just saying somebody might bite on that.
Andre Drummond hasn't played that many games.
No, Andre Drummond
only missed like 3 games this year.
He's the leading rebounder in the NBA right now.
Yeah, he's averaging 15.
I think it's 16 something.
I think he missed like 15 games.
I don't know. I don't watch Pistons games that much.
Andre Drummond, he's played 33 games this year.
Yeah. Oh, I've only seen like 5 Pistons games this year.
He's played 33 games this year, 17 points, 15 boards. Bro, Hooper, he doing his job.
And, bro, this is the argument. Correct. Because we said, I told him, I was like, the only way if I'm Detroit, I'm shipping off Andre to the Hawks. And mind you, as soon as that got bubbling, the Celtics started calling. Like, everybody else was wondering, like, yo, this is a serviceable big man. Like, and I told him, I was like, can you imagine?
He's better than serviceable.
And I was like, can you imagine if Andre was the big for the Clips? This whole 7-game series.
Somebody did actually throw that out there.
This whole 7-game series with the Lakers and Clips immediately changes.
Yeah,
and I'm switching sides on who I think is winning.
It's 5.
Yeah, Clips win that
it's
series.
It's a 5-game series.
If it's 6, it's because AD went for 51 game. Like, he just went bananas with the jump shots and the fades.
But the difference is, that's not Trez and that's not Zubac.
He's not little. He's 6'10", 6'11".
Drummond, 6'11", long, athletic,
but
big,
this is,
can move.
This
that's
is,
a problem.
This is the issue and the hiccup and that, because Lee didn't think, like, this is what I said. I said, if I'm Detroit, in that trade deal, there's no scenario where I don't end up with John Collins.
They're not going to get John Collins.
Then that trade's not happening.
So it's a matter of what does Detroit want in this trade. Going back to what you said, I don't think they can get rid of Blake Griffin. I think they've called around. They've tried to. Nobody wants that contract.
Okay.
So I think they realize they're stuck with that. So with giving away Andre Drummond, are you trying to get assets for him or are you trying to get cap relief for him? The Hawks can give you expiring contracts. And you can clear that off your books this summer and just try to rebuild around Blake Griffin as best you can.
Right.
Or you can trade him away for the Clippers like assets and get younger players. It's a matter of what they are trying to
do. But I think the owner has already stamped. He doesn't. Building a team around Blake again is only going to get you back in the same scenario.
But do you have a choice? That's the question. If you've called around and you've tried to move
Blake. If I'm
Blake,
stuck in purgatory.
I honestly don't think this is the end all be all for Blake.
I hope not.
I don't think it is.
I think somebody's going to be willing to take him.
I think there's enough teams out there, including the most desperate one and probably the most active one, the Houston Rockets, who will find a way to do something too.
They got the money for that?
They have a tendency to always...
I don't think they got the bread for that.
Then we
got
to get up Eric Gordon.
And I think that would be something they'd be willing to do.
But why would Detroit do that? That doesn't help them in any scenario.
I don't know. I think Houston...
Houston would have to send like mad
picks. That would have to be like a four-team trade.
Yeah. I think Houston has a way of always trying to make some shake because they feel like something's missing. Because
something is missing. It's called a system that works in the playoffs. Like, they don't need Blake. They need a new coach.
So, that's one team, I think. But I honestly don't think this is end all be all for Blake. Just because I still think in the right situation, on the right team, he's worth that contract.
Oh, no. Blake's a hooper. Like, we're here with it.
I honestly believe that.
We're here with it. I said he could end up somewhere else. I can't think of a trade scenario off the top of my head.
I think being in Detroit, and I think it's a lot of situations where players end up in certain places and they just go to die. They just die off there. Like...
I want to believe you.
Their stats go down. Their numbers go down. It's happened to Kevin Love. Like
Kevin Love's actually hooping this year, though.
Yeah, he's hooping, but at the same time, you see the frustration. He doesn't want to be there.
But once again,
like it's difficult.
That's actually the perfect example, though. Like Kevin Love and Blake Griffin both have bad contracts.
But
people are more willing to trade for Kevin Love because he's hooping.
But Blake did this last year.
Blake has been hurt.
Do you not understand how bad he is this year? He is averaging 15 points. 4 rebounds, 3 assists.
How many games did he play?
Shooting 35% from the field, 24% from 3. That is
horrific. How many games did he play?
When I don't want to work somewhere, my production.
No.
He's played 18 games.
I'm just going to stop you right there.
He's played 18 games.
I understand, but your production never gets so low to where you might get stuck working there.
Exactly. Like, once again, one of the things people always tell people. People always say, if you're trying to get yourself out of a situation, you do one, two things. You either sit out, period, or you hoop out and make somebody else want you.
And you could do it. He could have went the Kawhi route
and said, I'm just not going to play until y'all trade me. Or, A, I'm going to go out here and get 25, 10, and 5 every night.
And I'm going to keep screaming for you to trade me.
And make somebody come get me. He is playing. And once again, I am rooting for Blake Griffin. Like I said, that was a time long ago we had a discussion. I told you Blake Griffin's the best power forward in the league. Like, I honestly believed he was. But right now, I'm not trading for a dude I have to pay $34 million next year, $36 million a year after that, and $39 million a year after that. I'm not paying for this guy.
I understand. And I understand what GMs are looking at. And, like, I understand the reservations. It's just more so, like, if you gave him a situation, and I think that's it for
the
me.
The talent and ability, like, is still there for him to be on a team that can actually make a run.
There.
Is it? That's the real question.
I'm saying he's only a half season removed from probably his best season ever.
Yeah.
I agree.
So for those numbers, they do seem like shocking. But to me, I'm like, yo.
He's in a city he doesn't want to be in. He doesn't have to say it. I believe it. Like, he's in a city he doesn't want to be in. He's playing on a team he doesn't want to be on for an organization that hasn't done anything for the last 10 years. He's probably depressed. it would not shock me, bro.
I'm not arguing.
And it's hard to put the ball in the hoop. It's hard to wake up every day and go to a job and not feel
You really sound like you're speaking from experience. But I'm not arguing anything you're saying. I believe, it's definitely a shock to him. The Brust spent his whole first part of his career in L.A. Now you're living in Detroit. I'm not going to argue that he's not depressed, that he doesn't want to be there. All that I believe is true. There's also the reality of he's a guy who's had multiple knee surgeries. He's a guy who was a 6'8 power forward in this league who literally only showed he could shoot starting last year.
I'll give him the year before last, but
I mean, last 2 years.
Generally, when he was with the Clips, they didn't ask him to.
Once again, he started to show he can shoot probably the last 2-3 years. His game, while has improved tremendously skill-wise, still requires him to be a battering ram of a player, physicality, and athleticism. If he's not that athletic anymore, if his knees are starting to go, what does he give you? Because he's never been a plus defender, never been a plus rebounder. Granted, he's always played next to DeAndre Jordan and Andre Drummond. So granted, he's always played next to a superstar caliber rebounder. Mm-hmm. But still, he's never, if he's not going to be a great scorer for you and a great playmaker, what does he give you? At $36 million.
I think he's still that. I mean, I think that's the only thing. That's nostalgia. The only thing. Like, I don't,
thank you.
Like, I think he's still that.
I hope really he
do.
Is.
No, I really do. Like, man. Like I said, really do. I don't I think this is. I don't think this is a true reflection of his actual ability.
Like, so my point is simply, if he does bounce back, let's say he becomes
what he was last year,
I don't think he can do that again.
I'm begging that he can get back to that.
I think he can be 20 points. He'd be 20, 7 rebounds. He'd
be 20 and 9.
Is that worth $36 million?
People get contracts every day.
It depends on what you're doing.
Once again, it's one thing to give a guy a contract who you say is going to get better. You got to pay this knowing he's going to get worse.
It depends on what you're doing. And if you're a team that's looking exactly,
you got to win now.
You're cashing right out. Now. This is it. Yes.
He can if Houston be one makes of those, that trade, they got to win championship this guys. Year or they are done.
He can but be one of those guys.
I don't think they can really do anything.
I think Daryl Moore and D'Antoni are at that end. That they are be, looking at, they are staring that down, bro.
Defensively, that team would be.
They are staring that down. They are staring out their cash out
so
moment.
Bad
that's the motto of this show, man. Defense, schmefense. We get buckets around here.
James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and Blake
Griffin. What's the rule, man? Score more than them.
It's worked how many times?
This ain't golf.
It's worked how many times?
Every time the Warriors played?
The Warriors were a top five defense every year they won a championship. Don't give me that.
Because the best defense is a great offense.
No, it's because they played great defense.
Hey. Uh-huh. Yep, yep. Me and Greg here.
No, they played great defense.
Getting to the buckets. Getting to the
Andre
buckets.
Andre Drummond stole the finals MVP from Steph Curry because he played great
is defense. Is that Andre Iguodala? Yeah. My you fault. Just get DeAndre, you get Andre. DeAndre
Drummond. I don't know why Drummond is stuck in my head right now. Yo, Andre Iguodala stole the finals MVP from Steph Curry.
He didn't deserve that one, bro.
He didn't. Steph Curry did.
He had like 26-5 that series.
Who, Curry?
Yeah,
he
bro.
Played great. He had one bad game.
Like, nah, I was always sick about that because now everybody got the Steph Curry no finals MVPs joke. And I'm like, he deserved that first one.
Facts.
But that's off topic, too.
Last name in the trade rumors surrounding the Lakers show.
You know who wouldn't have gotten those trade rumors? Brandon Ingram.
He ain't even here to talk.
I don't care. I don't care.
Kyle Kuzma's already being name dropping trade rumors. I think it's hilarious because we called it.
Call a spade a spade.
We called it early. I think, 3 weeks ago? 4 weeks ago? I said,
last week we talked about it. Like,
uncage the bird.
like, we was like, Kyle gonna be in some trade rumors. Watch. And here it is. I don't think he's going anywhere.
Me neither.
But, they can't get nothing
but
back
people
for
are asking.
You can get a little something back. You can't get anything that puts you in a better position. So it's
exactly.
No point
like, there's no point in trading him now. Like, so, you can't get anything of value back for him.
Yeah. I think it's hilarious. Every time a player is struggling to fit with Bron, the first thing everyone goes to do is say, all right, let's get him out of here.
But when you look at Bron's track history, like what was
what
happening his last year in Cleveland when it was like, like 5 games, this ain't working out. D-Rose got traded. Wade got traded.
We woke up with a whole new roster.
Isaiah Thomas got traded.
Let's keep out. He did that twice in Cleveland.
Twice.
Because remember the first year he traded for J.R. Smith, Amon Shumpert, and all of them. He did that twice.
He woke up with a completely different Rods. He was like, hey, Griff, this ain't working.
Wasn't even Griff that year, was it? The second time?
Second time was Griff. Yeah.
Yeah, because that's. I think he rocked afterwards.
Yeah.
Because he was like, yo, I'm sick of this. I'm sick of this.
You're right.
That's why we got the sound bites. He started talking.
Griff was like, man, I had to keep redoing that roster over and over.
Can you imagine?
How hard it is to find nine new players?
Just imagine going
that
to
that can all
job,
shoot
bro.
40% from three.
And play perimeter defense.
And are fine with living in Cleveland? Oh, nah. Like, just imagine going into your job. You wrote up a whole report. You give it to them. 20 days later, they tell you to redo the report. And then 20 days later, they tell you to redo
like,
the report.
Like, it was decent, but
do it again.
Do it again.
Each time you're doing it, you're like, yo, it's not my fault. You just can't read.
So I think it's crazy. I don't know. I would like to see. I would like to see Kyle stay in LA.
He's going to stay in LA.
He's not going nowhere.
I would like to see Kyle stay. I think for everything they say, he does actually fit. But he's probably one of the youngest players on the team at that point.
Now he is.
And he's probably having a harder time adjusting to.
Well, he's been hurt too. Gotta give him that slack. He's been hurt. Of course.
And I was telling Leek about this last night. I was like, what do we always say about Bron when it comes to like younger players trying to develop? He stunts your growth.
Yeah.
And this is like crucial time for Kuzma right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Show me you're better than Brandon Ingram, because I.
And the thing is, he won't have the.
He won't get the opportunity. The space
no, the opportunity and ability. He's not gonna get it. Yeah, he's not gonna have like the actual chance to show that he's better. So regardless about talent, or whatever, he's never even gonna get the platform to show that he's better than Brandon Ingram, which clearly y'all know what side I'm on. But yeah, so he might just be stuck.
That's unfortunate, man.
It is
very unfortunate.
Should have got traded.
Like. This NBA trade season, I think, is going to be very interesting, though.
I think all the trades are going to happen.
Right before deadline?
No, I said not right before deadline.
I think they're going to start hitting,
I think they're going to start hitting maybe by
next couple weeks. Yeah. They're going to start hitting.
Back. I said flowing. End of January, we're going to start seeing stuff pop off.
Don't be surprised. Next week be the week.
I think it's going to be a domino effect. It's going to be boom. Okay.
Yeah,
boom,
one boom, trade's going to open boom, up the next boom, one. Boom.
Everybody's just going to start going down the line. Because you got a ton of teams who are in positions where they either think they're a contender or they're like, we're not a contender, we're going to bottom out. Wouldn't shock me if Portland blows it up. Still not, wouldn't shock me in any way.
I want to see Melo in the playoffs.
I think Orlando might do something.
Orlando, they're talking about trading Evan Fournier. That's a 20-point score.
Yep.
For any team, knockdown shooter, helps out. Portland's currently the 9th seed right now.
Yep.
San Antonio has moved in front of them. Like, they are literally in a fight for their lives for that 8th spot. And Portland is a team that's literally been the top 4 seed the last, 3-4 years?
Yep.
Them being the 8th seed, they got to be looking going.
This ain't it.
We added Melo. We're 10-12 since Melo got here. That ain't help.
They added Hassan Whiteside.
I said from jump that wasn't going to work.
Hey.
Not good.
Trade Dame to Philly.
San Antonio could blow it up and say DeMar Aldridge can bounce. That's two all-star veterans that would help any team.
Yep.
Yeah, so it all depends on who makes the first move.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. And it's a domino effect.
Nobody really knows what's really available.
I think everything will be settled by all-star break.
I mean, it's going to have to be.
wait. All-star break is after the trade deadline?
No,
it's literally the trade deadline.
Well, trade deadline, technically, I think like 4 days after.
Though, something like that, yeah.
I say all-star.
Now, I agree with you. There might be some players in the all-star game who go in with one jersey and walk out with a different one.
DeMarcus Cousins?
Wouldn't shock me.
Remember when he got traded during the all-star break? Mid-interview?
In the game. He was on the bench and they traded him.
Oh, I thought you said it's gonna happen again. I was
not after an ACL and like, Achilles. Like
Cousins getting tricked. Like, nah, my man's not even practicing yet.
Like, could the Warriors still try to move on from D'Lo? Like, it's a possibility.
It's a possibility.
I don't think it's gonna happen. Yeah, but
it's gonna happen. D'Lo has expressed and he's made.
He
it
wants
clear.
To be there so bad.
He wants to be there. I also saw an interview with GQ. Kat talked about how that joke was funny. That joke's funny.
Wait, what did he talk about?
So he was like posing as what himself, like on
Reddit or something.
He was just answering basketball questions, and one of the questions was like, "Who would fit better with the Warriors, Rudy Gobert or Kat?" He was like, "Well, you know, Rudy Gobert's a great player, but I think you put me there, and with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson spreading the floor and my shooting ability, who will be great?" And it was like, "Well, know something?"
Nah, but we all discussed that. Like, that would be sick, man. I would be mad if D'Lo did get shipped to Minnesota for Cat.
No, I don't think that's gonna happen.
I'll just say because he already said no to Minnesota to go to the Warriors.
Yeah, like, he did.
No,
and now if I get forced there on a max, so I might get stuck there for 3 years playing next to. Hey, shout out Wiggs. He's actually been having a great season. But
I think the intention behind his statement was playing with D'Lo. They've always talked about they wanted to play together.
Yeah, of course,
and Booker wants to play.
That three.
God, that team would play no defense.
So
they would outscore everybody, though. I give you all that one.
So I think the intention would be I'm gonna join D'Lo, Steph, Clay.
I don't know Draymond. How that would happen.
I don't know. I'm gonna join all of them.
Mind you, if there's one team that can make it happen because they're so cool paying luxury tax, it would be the Warriors. But
facts,
they definitely pay the luxury tax.
Oh, I would too.
I think they're paying it now. Yeah.
But like, yeah.
Yeah. They got 4 max players.
I mean,
hey man, do what you got to do to win.
Man, this trade deadline is gonna be so interesting.
Yeah.
I'm just looking, like, so you just look at names that could just move. Real talk, quiet as cut. Does Mike Conley get traded?
Yeah, he's struggling.
They look better without him.
He's struggling. I could definitely
see. The problem is, I don't know if anybody would want him, but.
I could definitely. Nah. He stays.
I think his contract.
And I think somewhere around, I would say somewhere around March, he'll start feeling the groove, especially come time with his get ready playoffs. He'll hit a groove.
Yeah, this is his first meaningful basketball he's playing a little bit, so it might be getting adjusted to actually playing games where you're fighting for something.
Well, like I said, move to a new city, new system. Like, a good point people brought up was he's playing in a system, and he's playing with a different type of big than he's ever played with before. Like, Marc Gasol is not a vertical spacing big like Rudy Gobert is. Rudy Gobert is somebody you are going to throw 4 lobs to a game, and you have to deal with it. But he's not going to space the 4 either because he's not a pick-and-pop threat. Marc Gasol, quiet as kept, was always a good pick-and-pop threat and was one of the highest IQ players in the league from the moment he stepped on the court. So it's just different style. And then also you're playing with Donovan Mitchell, who needs the ball in his hands as well.
Mm-hmm.
So like
it's definitely a different dynamic than anything he had to do with in Memphis.
Facts.
In Memphis, he was the primary ball handler.
Always.
Like he was on the floor with, at their prime, Tony Allen. who else was out there? Marc Gasol, Z-Bo. Like,
yeah.
Like, it was him. He had the rock. He made the decisions. Now you're looking at a guy like Donovan Mitchell who can make decisions. And then you have other guys who are super confident, like Ingles and so forth. Mm-hmm. So it's definitely adjustment. That's why I think around playoff time, a little bit before playoff time, he'll kind of hit a groove and we'll be like, okay, they're scary, at least going into the playoffs. I don't think they do anything. I think they might be a one and done. But
we'll see. Like I said, the West is all going to shape up the matchups.
Rest in the Rockets.
Like I said, it's all going to come down to matchups. So,
and that's the thing. Like, if he can get a series where he can, like, actually get a rhythm versus one of those players, then they actually do become a little scary. Like, say they do match up with Houston, and they match up with Houston, great.
That's what I'm saying. So that would be the series.
If he catches his rhythm on Houston going into the next one, plays like the Clips or something, they could make it really interesting for the Clip. Not necessarily win it.
They might get a game.
I don't know about that.
Maybe sneak two, but I'd just say a game.
I don't know about that.
I don't know if they match up with Houston, to be honest. I don't think they do.
No?
I think we're looking at it because we're just saying they beat Russ. But Russ and OKC system, yeah, you beat him. Houston system destroyed Utah.
But I've said two things if I haven't said anything during these 21 pods we've had. I've said, first and foremost, that system in Houston doesn't work in the playoff. And
it worked against Utah.
And two, I've always said, whatever team Russ is playing, he makes them better.
Playing against you, man.
Yeah, playing against.
I mean, I can see that, but Houston system, it really neutralizes Rudy Gobert because it brings him so far off from the basket. So it kind of stifles what Utah wants to do. So, and then, like I said, you got your two theoretical best players, and Mike Conley, Donovan Mitchell, are essentially going against Russell Westbrook and James Harden. Two bigger, stronger, more athletic guards. Like, I don't think it's a good matchup for Utah, in my opinion.
I said what I said about Russ.
I feel you, though. Russ could shoot them out of that series very easily.
I'm rooting for Houston.
I know you are. What's the one team y'all think has to make a move? Like, they have to make a move.
I feel...
to solidify themselves.
All right, so we're just looking at
teams. Outside of Philly. Let's take Philly out.
You talking about contenders?
Yeah, like contending teams. Like, who's a team that has to something. Make a move?
I'm not gonna say Boston because we talked about Boston enough. I would probably go Indiana.
I don't because their move is coming back.
Exactly.
It's Vic coming back. Mind you, they're like Indiana. 24-12 without Vic.
22-13.
I've heard rumors that Miles Turner might be a guy they want to ship out. because Sabonis is actually better than him.
He's playing better this year, yeah.
So if there is any,
I don't think they're going to do that prematurely, though. I don't think they're going to make a move until Vic comes back. Like, that's the big thing about that. Their star is out.
If anything, I don't know if Indiana's like a true contender to win the NBA Finals. I mean, they are a tough out. I mean, they definitely could cause problems for everybody in the East.
Yeah, in the East, when you get your star guard back, like, mind you,
I'm not calling them a contender yet, though.
It's all about Vic to me. Yeah, Vic is healthy.
Vic's top 2-2 guard in the East.
I think they're a contender if he's healthy. That's a big if.
I just can't say they're not one. Like, I don't have them coming out the East with Vic healthy. I just won't be surprised if they really made things rock in the playoffs. Because, mind you, this is the same group that took Bron as 7 a couple years ago. Mm-hmm. All they did was get way better.
I could see them beating anybody.
My safe bet, if anything, my safe bet would be Milwaukee.
That's where I was going to go.
My safe bet would be Milwaukee.
Because I would love for them to have one more piece to solidify, like, we're not just trying to get out the East. We're trying to win the finals. Because I don't think they need to be looking at Philly and trying to compete with them. I think they should be looking at the LA teams and trying to compete with them.
I mean, yeah, after what we're seeing out of Philly right now, yeah.
But you know what's funny? The way matchups might fall, like, Philly might end up playing like the Bucks in the second round, beat the Bucks, and then Philly gets knocked out in the Eastern Conference Finals.
Wouldn't surprise me.
And then that's a way where a team like Indiana could sneak into...
Chris Middleton makes more than Giannis. Didn't even know.
Yeah.
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 I'm looking at Milwaukee. I'm just trying to figure out who could they package off and get something back for.
That's the tough part, too.
Yeah.
It's like, Milwaukee has serviceable players. Mm-hmm. But the guys you would want to package,
you need to keep,
are underwhelming.
Oh, yeah, like people like Eric Bledsoe, you want to get out of there? Yeah.
They're a little
I don't think they want to get rid of Eric Bledsoe. I think they like him a lot.
I think he's a little underwhelming, though. Especially came time for the playoffs. He didn't show up like we expected him to.
You're so nice, man. Terry Rozier fried that, man.
That is a fact.
And Terry Rozier is getting his minutes taken by Devontae Graham.
They're sharing the court a lot more now. Terry Rozier put up a 30-piece the other night.
I don't care about his 30. Who's closing the games?
He did hit the game winner.
Scary Sheesh. Terry.
Sheesh.
But so I think that's the tough part with them. It's like, yeah, you want to keep Brooke. You want to keep Chris. But
the thing that just really
Dante
hurt them,
DiVincenzo is somebody you can just ship off and say we can get something back for this, like, yeah, special.
It just really hurt them not having Malcolm.
So,
like, if they were able to keep Malcolm, and mind you, it was a money thing. Like, he's all definitely. But come out and said it. He was like, I wanted to be there, but it didn't seem like they were as interested in keeping me there. Basically, you didn't give me the number that I wanted.
It be like that sometimes.
I'll be the first to say, I didn't think Brogdon was this good.
I didn't either. I'll be the second.
And they didn't either. I think everybody's kind of gone. I think Nate McMillan is walking around and been like, did we know he was that good when we traded for him? Mm-hmm. Like, he is thoroughly impressed me. He's a guy who might be on the All-Star Reserve ballot. Like,
And a most improved candidate.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I'll put Sabonis on there first.
Sabonis is going to make it first. Yeah. Don't get me wrong. But Brogdon, he's, once again, if you look at this All-Star voting, he has a case.
Okay.
His team is winning, and he's the reason. Because every game he hasn't played in, they've lost.
True. So, yeah, I think my safe bet would be Milwaukee. Milwaukee would have to make a move. I don't know what player is the player that you vote off the island, though. I think that's kind of the tough part. In terms of the West,
if you're Dallas, do you go for it?
I say no.
Yeah, I say no too.
I say no. I say play it out. See who's real and see who's not.
Because mind you, like, still a super young team.
Oh, yeah.
See who's real, see who's not.
I don't think they have to make that super push right now.
Like, they were also another team.
That's the guy who's begging for Trae Young to get help.
I just don't want them to see. I just don't want the Atlanta Falcons to have more wins than the Atlanta Hawks. When the Atlanta Hawks are 40 games into their season. Like, that's what I don't want.
Wow.
So yeah, get them enough help where their football team doesn't have more wins.
That boy podding today.
Yeah, nah, he is throwing about there.
You've been on fire the last 2 weeks, man.
We're podding.
I'm just saying what it is.
I understand, but I think another name that came up was Drummond for Dallas as well. I think they have put in some field.
But like I said, Drummond's one of those bigs that could really fill out on most teams.
Yeah, he's a great, like I said, great rim runner.
And I think it definitely lightens the
load. A prototypical big.
It would definitely lighten the load on Porzingis, even though they do have Powell,
but he's
be down there.
He's solid.
He's solid. Yeah. He reminds me of like JaVale McGee. Like he can do the job. He's not as goofy.
But I just think that's early JaVale is super.
I think JaVale's just
he's not like that anymore. He hasn't been like that since the Warriors.
He's not. But JaVale is such a goofy guy, and it's just ingrained in my head now. Like them Washington years, man, I tell you.
That's Shaq and the Fool. Shaq and the Fool did him no favors.
Granted,
he made Shaq and the Fool pop, bro.
He did. But it ruined him too, though.
Shaq owes him a check. But no, I think it made him mature. It just was really bad. It ruined his
reputation.
Yeah, when your mom got to come out and like you're a grown man. But I can't blame JaVale all for that because it is Washington.
Thing. So that's I guess Dallas. I would say Dallas should hold out.
I say
make the playoffs, play as hard as you can. Let's see who lays an egg. Let's see who's real.
I would say this,
and then we ship out the guy who
the
lays
team
an egg.
With we didn't mention the Heat.
Nope.
I think that if they can make a push for another piece, like
nope. Sound like him?
No, not a superstar piece. You just said trade to become like a finals contender.
I don't think there is one.
They've been hooping.
I don't think there is one.
A trade out there?
I don't think there is one.
Yeah, I don't know who they get.
I don't know who they get that
would put them in.
But
that
then
space.
I can sit there. We don't know who the Bucks get.
They are talking about trading Justice Winslow, and of course they are trying to get rid of Deion Waiters as well.
I hear rumors that
Pat Riley was trying to ingratiate him back into the organization.
That'd be interesting.
Deion?
Yeah.
Probably make him look good before you trade him.
Polish him up real good.
Yeah.
He was like, I want you to come
like,
back.
Like, all right, think about this. If you have a car that's completely totaled.
Yeah.
And you're trying to sell it.
Yeah.
Are you going to sell it like that?
Nah.
Am I selling it to a junkyard? Cleveland?
Hey, they ship him back to Cleveland.
It's so toxic. It's so toxic. We're getting go.
Oh, man. That was a good one.
But that's what I've heard out of Miami. Okay, I think Miami just holds it together too. I think that's another team that has to wait it out. Goran Dragic is on his last year, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Expiring due.
So he should come off the books. I don't think he returns.
I think Myers Leonard's on his last year.
Even
too.
Though he does have a really strong relationship with Jimmy since Jimmy's gotten there. Like mm-hmm. I think that whole roster has a really good relationship, personally.
I mean, you're living in Miami, winning basketball games. What's not to love?
Yeah, man, you just out here happy, bro. So I think Goran goes on to better things or a different contract, different team, different situation, and then that leaves them room to find somebody else. And Pat Riley can always find somebody else. But in terms of what they have, I like Justice Winslow. I think what he does for this team is really good. In terms of him changing his style of play. Like Bam, like I already mentioned, most improved player to me. Brandon Ingram's right there. Even though it's hard to say he most improved, even though
he had a great year
this year, but he had a really good 18, year last 19 year.
Points like, per game. Like I told you, he just got unleashed this year.
So I think Kendrick Nunn, I think he's a starting point guard. So it was like Tyler Hero, Duncan Robinson, pieces are there. I think they just got to hold off and just run with the squad.
Yeah, I agree.
And they could still sneak up behind a bunch of teams and do mean damage.
Oh, absolutely.
To the playoffs.
Like, I don't think they're going to reach a conference finals this year, but they can definitely.
If they see Philly, they could beat Philly.
That was because Jimmy's so real.
Yep.
That was because Jimmy's so real. And that's why I said, like, maybe perhaps a little trade, because this isn't, like, a Trae Young scenario or whatever when he's super young. Like, Jimmy's in his prime now.
Yeah.
And realistically, how many years do we have of Jimmy waiting for Kendrick and Tyler to be ready? So I think they're not that far along either. I don't think they're that far behind. It's just more so the window. Like, there's a window on Jimmy being the number one option on your team for a championship team.
But here's kind of the weird thing about the Heat, and Spoelstra said it too. He said it after a game, I think. He said, we're not asking Jimmy to be...
affect the stat sheet. Yeah. We're asking you to affect the game and contribute to winning. Yeah.
Exactly.
100%.
So he's not... it's almost like his numbers aren't first option numbers.
They're not.
You're not going to have it with that team. That's the beauty of that
and
team.
That's the beauty of that team.
You're helping make my point. For to get to a finals, and mind you, every time I talk about anything, I'm always talking about winning chips.
Mm-hmm. But you still help make my point.
No, I'm saying in 3 years, if you keep the same cast, I don't think they're a final team.
I think it is.
That's what we're going to disagree. I don't think they're going to be better than whatever team Giannis is on in the East.
Are we sure Giannis
will be in the East?
No, if he's not. Joel Embiid's team is probably going to have more pieces around him.
I think people look at the East, and granted, I'm not saying they're the top one. They're the one that's coming out, and that's who I'm picking, my predicting team. I'm not saying that.
They have a chance. They have a legitimate shot.
They could be the top two. They could be the top four teams in the league. Easily.
In the league?
Yeah. Yes.
In three years?
3 years? I think so.
I don't know, because the West is just so crazy. Like, Golden State Warriors are going to be back. LA's going to be LA. The other LA's going to be LA. And
I'm just talking about...
wherever Giannis is.
I'm just talking about looking at two teams from the West, two teams from the East. They could be number four. They could be number four. Easily. And the reason why is because I think people get it twisted. They're looking at Tyler Hero. He's ready. I think he's a star at some point. I think we're looking at a kid that is learning from a super confident Jimmy Butler, and he's taking all of that confidence himself. And I personally believe he has a better jump shot and a crazier clip in terms of confidence. And all of that energy is being passed along. Don't be surprised in 2-3 years. Jimmy's averaging like 17. Tyler Hero's averaging like 24.
But if we're doing the same cast, like Kendrick Nunn
is 20, what, 5, 26? Bam is 22?
I don't think anybody's on that team. That team is going to average like 24. I didn't say they're not going to win, it's just the style of play. I don't get them to get into that number, if you get what I'm saying.
In that system, with that level of confidence, I do not put it past that kid.
Kendrick is 24.
Is that what?
Kendrick Nunn is 24.
24.
Bam's 22.
Yep.
That team's so young. Team's so young. And they don't need Jimmy. And that's the thing. They don't need Jimmy to be no go get a bucket, give me 40 game.
I'm not going to sit here and say, like, if they keep this in 2-3 years, they're going to be a finals contending team. Like, a legitimate finals contending team. I can't really say that. I think they're going to need other pieces.
I don't see why not. Everything's there. Everything's there. And I feel like we said this about Golden State at some point. I feel like people looked at Golden State the same way.
I mean, no, they changed coaches. They up and suited up their system.
They changed coaches to a better coach. They already have their better coach. Miami already has their better coach. Spoelstra's there. Spoelstra's a top, I'd say top five coach in the league. Maybe top 10.
But we're talking about like the top heavy with the Warriors and that talent that they had. Mind you, they were surrounded by like veterans. That talent was developed, but like, I don't care what nobody say. Like, you're talking about the two greatest shooters ever. Like, I hate it when people compare anything. But
it was developed.
I hate it when people compare anything to a Golden State situation.
And that's the thing.
That's an anomaly. That's an outlier.
It is an anomaly to an extent. I'm not saying it's not. But what I am saying, look at what had to take place. Steph did not come into the league blowing up. Like, he kind of worked his way into it.
But because of Steph, Clay, we have people who, worked like, his way Tyler Herro can do what
Draymond
they're doing.
Green was a bench player. All the pieces, not necessarily a match.
I hear you. I promise you. I promise you. I hear you. I'm saying that the pieces that Golden State started with were so much better than what the Heat have. Because to make that comparison would be like Tyler Herro's going to sniff Steph Curry. Like, that's not going to happen. Or even Klay Thompson. They're never going to reach
that
level.
I'm not saying that.
Or at least I hope they do. That would be really interesting.
I'm not saying that all the pieces are identical in skill level. I'm saying that
they have a core set of guys that are young that need to grow together.
The formula used in Golden State is the same one being used in Miami right now.
I still don't got them going out. I'm just going to stick with my guns on that one. There's, I don't think there's anything that you can really say about that. That way I can say, like, they have a shot to shock some people in the East. I don't see them going to a finals in the next 2-3 years without making a move. That's the thing, without making a move.
My team that needs to make a move, and yeah. I just put in the trade machine. I think I figured
this
it
man
out.
Pulled this man up was the doing 2K trade machine.
While we over here talking.
I heard all y'all points, though. Okay. I do think Miami needs to stay pat. I don't agree, though. I don't think there is a superstar on that roster that can help them win a championship. I think they got to find that guy. I think Jimmy Butler's going to descend, and then they're going to bring somebody else in to fill that role.
Like, they have the pieces. I said just one more. But they don't have to rush it, though. They do not have to rush it. They can definitely wait 2-3 years.
Okay.
But anyway, I want to see the Denver Nuggets make a move. Because shout out Michael Porter Jr.
MPJ, yo, yeah.
Showed up.
Yep.
Showed up.
That's my guy. That's my guy. We all knew.
He was on my list. I drafted him. I'm doing you. I was right. Who cares?
All my people are hurt.
So
I don't care. You were wrong. So, you didn't take into account they were going to get hurt.
So I am all for. I thoroughly, they got a hype on the Michael Porter Jr. train. Not saying throw him out there and play him 35 minutes yet.
Nah. Keep doing what you're doing with him, actually.
No, I want to see him start playing. He needs to start playing more consistently. I need to see.
I mean, he's playing well enough where you can't ignore it. That's what I'm saying.
11 and 12.
I need to see him start playing at least 23, 25 minutes a night. Like, I need to see that per night. I would say go all in on Michael Porter Jr. train. This is my trade. Just put in the machine. Gary Harris.
I knew Gary got to get up out of there.
Juan Hernan Gomez, Malik Beasley for DeMar DeRozan. I know we always look at DeMar DeRozan like that. We always do that.
He's a solid six.
Huh? I mean, you can make him your starting two guard if you want.
Six man or six out of ten? I have no idea what you're talking about.
I mean, you can make him your six or you can make him your starting two guard. It's up to you. But I think having him.
What is he left with?
That means you still got Murray.
Then we got Jamal. Still got Jokic.
Millsap.
MPJ Millsap.
Monte Morris. Michael Porter. You're still nine deep. DeMar DeRozan has to come in. He gives you the one thing they're lacking.
You know what it
is? A bucket scorer in the mid-range.
I don't think DeMar is worth that much.
Worth what?
I think you can get him for a little bit cheaper.
I don't.
You can keep one of those
pieces. What'd you give up? You gave up your power forward that doesn't play. Malik Beasley, who granted is a good player, but you're solid at that position. And Gary Harris, you're swapping out for DeMar DeRozan. And you're still not deep.
Man. I don't know. Maybe it's because of.
I would say
let it fly. I mean, I'm looking at Denver and Denver.
You know what I see? I see Denver meeting up with LA and DeMar just folding again when he sees Bron.
That's the thing.
I've seen it too many times.
So here's the thing. Yes, DeMar DeRozan is. Well, I hate when people say you folded. No, LeBron's just better than
whoa,
you.
Whoa, whoa, whoa.
LeBron's just better.
In those
you
series.
You didn't fold. You lost to a better player.
No. In those series, sometimes he wouldn't even be on the floor while the game is closing because he will have games that are that bad.
Once again, you're dealing with LeBron James.
No, I'm talking about you as an individual player.
Anyway.
Like, PG wasn't going like that when he was young with
Indiana. The
difference
is in this situation is that it's not DeMar's team.
Exactly.
This is Jokic's team.
Maybe. Yeah.
And Jamal Murray.
And Paul Millsap a lot.
And then like, eventually Michael Porter Jr.
You got guys around DeMar who are like, yo, dude, we don't need you to go get 30. We're going to need you maybe for like 4 minutes of the game. We need you to get buckets against their second team.
18. I'm about to say.
Give me 18 of them.
He's going to play like 12 minutes.
I'm talking about minutes.
Like 18 points, I agree. They're going to need 18 points.
He said need like.
But like, we're going to need 4 minutes of that game where you just get buckets.
Or maybe a third quarter stretch. I see what you mean. I'm just so scared of him folding. And it's just because that's what I saw. You can say, like, you were playing Bron. I understand, but, like, I've seen people go out against Bron in different ways. Like, we've seen Vic lose to Bron. We've seen PG lose. We've seen everybody in the East lose to Bron. We didn't see the way the Raptors continuously. They called it LeBron, though. I can't sit here and say that's my team, and we go like that.
I honestly can't look at that. I understand. But I can't look at the same.
It's a different scenario, and that's why I'm hesitant.
Denver is not Toronto.
They're not
like.
But I think Jamal, your system is better.
Jamal Murray is a complete dog. Like he's no a fear kind of guy.
Look, if DeMar doesn't forward, I'm so cool.
This is not about like I'm not trying to shade Kyle Lowry at all. Kyle Lowry is a good basketball player, but Jamal Murray is a different beast, bro. Like
Jamal Murray's better than Kyle Lowry. We don't have to.
I'm talking about mentally. I think I'm talking about just going at it, trying to get it.
And going back to your idea with DeMar and even Lowry at times folding. The reason they folded, I always said, and the reason I actually did like Toronto a lot when they were making their run with DeMar and Kyle Lowry.
We all did.
Huh? But the one I didn't like him at first. I started liking him towards the end because when they got the new coach, or it was Nick Nurse, it was the coach before Nick Nurse.
Dwayne Casey.
He had a year where he actually started putting in a system where it was more player movement, more ball movement.
He was coach of the year one year. Yeah, the year right before he got fired.
But it wasn't so much ISO ball. And that's what DeMar DeRozan loves. He tries to emulate Kobe to the highest effect. He's just not as good as Kobe.
Yeah, he doesn't make those shots.
So he makes them. He just doesn't make them at the same clip. Like he's good. He's not great. Fine. With that being said, I hated every time they played Cleveland. It was like all of a sudden they all wanted to show that they could beat LeBron one-on-one. He's not capable of doing that. But if you put him next to Jokic and Jamal Murray and say, yo, dude, you're going to get 8 points just off back cuts and lobs just from Jokic. Fact. Jokic is going to hit you.
Look, I'm not saying DeMar doesn't have the ability where we make that trade and that becomes something that really shakes up the West.
Yeah.
All I'm trying to say is I don't know if I trust that man mentally enough to be able to take that role and fill out that situation. He has all the talent in the world for that that should work, but I don't know. Like,
I get
maybe it's because I already have the actual...
You think LeBron left DeMar with some scars?
Yes, bro. Yes, bro. And I'm not going to sit here and call DeMar broken or anything like that.
No, but you kind of are. But it's okay.
Yeah, but like the thing is, like, y'all going to hear me say a whole lot of wild things about a whole lot of players, coaches, executives, GMs, everybody in the world.
I don't think it's wild. I think it makes sense.
I love DeMar DeRozan, and I can't... And this is the only reason why I'm, like, hesitant to call him anything. Like, you haven't heard me say anything really bad or disrespectful about him in this, like, five-minute stretch. But mentally, I'm just not sure, like...
We all watched it. We all watched what we saw.
And it was...
LeBron...
It was sad, bro. 24 points.
All fades.
All fades? That's the most fades I've seen since, like...
It was 24 straight
barbershops in 03. It was like OD, bro. Like,
it was stupid. It was crazy. So, I mean, like, that's a tough... Of course, it's easy to say those scars are there and all that. My thing is... When that pressure isn't on you, when you just become one of the guys.
I just got to see that he doesn't have PTSD.
When he just becomes one of the guys.
Or PT, post-traumatic brain disorder. And you're not the leader of it. PTBD.
You're not the leader of the situation. I think it's completely different.
And I hope it is.
So here's my thing. If even against LeBron, I'm looking at the stats from all those series. Outside the last year where he swept him again, that last time.
Sad, bro.
That year he was bad.
That was so sad.
But every year before that, he averaged 20 points against LeBron, 23. Like, he did what he was supposed to do.
Like,
no, his team
wasn't
good.
And this is why I always say, like, look in the moments in the game. There were some moments in the game where it was just like, yo, DeMar, what?
So that's my point. If he just gives you 20 points, but we don't need you in the moment anymore.
I hope he...
Murray is the moment guy.
I'm
sitting here. Jokic is the moment guy.
If he
we just
that,
need 20.
If he can do that, I'm cool with that trade. I'm just scared that this
I'm
isn't going to
be right,
bro.
I'm saying we're eliminating your problem for you.
I hope,
we're
I
not
hope you
putting
don't.
Him in the
I hope
moment.
You don't. I hope so. I hope
that's
so.
That's my point. We're eliminating
Because if he ever
him
ends up
moment.
In that moment...
I say let it fly.
You always say let it fly.
Hey, man. I'm about it.
I think Denver needs to make a move. I want to see them hop on the Michael Porter Jr. train because I think that would open up more minutes for him. And like I said, if DeMar does start to fold, you throw Michael Porter Jr. in the fire. See how he looks in the moment. And you let it ride.
That boy
not
gonna
fold. You don't even sound confident.
That boy lives for it, bro.
I like that kid.
Bro. Oh, yeah.
That's
MPJ's
new
not gonna
KD,
fold.
Bro. That's
a KD. He lives for it, bro.
Hey, man.
So, this is what it is. That's my move, though. If y'all can come up with something better, hit us up.
Please
on
do.
Instagram. Hit us up on YouTube. Let us know what y'all thinking. But I like that idea.
It's not a bad idea, man. It's not a bad idea. We didn't say it in the beginning of the pod, but Happy New Year to everyone.
Facts.
Forgot all about that.
Happy New Year to you guys. We're going to get out on this last part. New Year, New You. This is where you guys can come up with one player, not named LeBron, and tell me or tell the rest of the world what would you like to see them evolve into the new game, like almost like a New Year's resolution. One player you can think of.
Hey, it's a player that we've talked about a lot.
Can't do Ben Simmons.
Brian, you want to go first? Because if I can't slander Ben Simmons in this moment, I might as well just go last.
Go ahead, get it off.
No, can I go with Ben Simmons? Because I'm in our report, it said not Bron.
I feel like it's the obvious one. Like.
But that's the one that needs to happen for, like, that's the most major one.
I got you.
Like, real live. But, like, if I can't go Ben, like, there was other players I was thinking about. One that I did want to mention really quickly, coming off of the injury, of course, was Kristaps Porzingis. And I said maybe when Luka went out during that stretch, it was going to be a beneficial thing for Kristaps, just being the number one.
Right. Right.
And it was.
You called it.
Good job.
You called it.
I'm always right.
Not always. Right.
Always. We have the evidence right. says otherwise.
I'm always right.
Not evidence
always
says right. otherwise.
I'm right about that too. But if I can't go Ben Simmons with him and his lack of ability to do anything from outside of 2 feet, then I'll probably go with Kristaps. Just asserting himself more and trying to make it a 1A, 1B to where your effect on the game is how you want it to be at times. Be a decision maker and realize, like, you're a leader in that on that floor as well. I'm not sure of the locker room situation, of course, but you're a leader on that floor as well, and you have the talent and ability. Well, a lot of people were saying you could be a top five player in the league. I don't want that to get lost by the wayside just because you're playing with a generational talent like Luka now. Still assert yourself. Don't let this be you helping Luka. Let this be a literal dynamic of 1A, 1B.
I respect that. I bang with that.
I want to say what's funny.
It's not you. Markel Fultz is shooting better than Russell Westbrook from three.
Trade him.
Hey, look, man.
And the field.
Hey, look. Markel has made a transformation in his game. Got his jump shot going again. We're proud of him. And we will not slander.
He doesn't have his jump shot going. He's shooting 25%, but it's just better than Westbrook.
I'm talking about he got it going as it looks cleaner now, Brian. Not necessarily the shots falling. All right?
Talking about Russ?
I'm talking about Markel. His shot looks a little cleaner. It looks a little smoother now. I will not slander Russ Westbrook in this moment.
Why?
Because I said so. Because I said so.
You're irrational.
I said so. I don't need a reason. I'm the host. I don't gotta tell you why we're not slandering Russell Westbrook today. So I can do whatever I want to do.
He does not make sense. Whatever he feels like.
I can say whatever I want to say.
He just Max Kellerman does.
He really did.
Oh my god. Oh, bro.
You good? Yeah. You want to tell us your new guy?
Oh man, I'm trying to think.
Whew. Is it Russell Westbrook shooting better?
No, it's too easy. I was gonna say Markel, but I mean he's playing better. Like I said, he just got to get his feet wet, keep doing what he's doing. I think he'll improve as time goes on. Heck, man, threw this one on me. I totally forgot about this topic. I'm gonna say, dang man, I just had somebody on top of my head. I'm going to say, real talk, I'm torn. I'm going to say D'Lo, and I'm going to say Marvin Bagley.
Okay.
Those are two guys I want to see. Like, D'Lo has become an all-star, perennial type player.
Yep.
I want to see him take the next step, one, efficiency-wise. Like I said, just become a little bit better decision-making. And I also want to see him, he's got to improve a little bit better on the defensive end. So he's got the length, granted, he doesn't necessarily have the athleticism. But I would like to see him become at least a Steph-like defender where he's just in the right position where he's supposed to be.
A lot more engaged,
knows the rotations. Like, if nothing else, be that player.
Okay.
You don't got to be a dominant one-on-one defender. And then Marvin Bagley, like I said, I think he has great potential.
Part of it was the injuries this year, too.
Injuries this year has definitely slowed him down. But I don't want him to become this – what's the word? I don't want to see him become like Aaron Gordon, where it's like we see this phenomenal athleticism. Like I said, it's been reported now that he's only like 6'8", 6'9".
Yeah.
So
you just don't want him to end up on a Blake Griffin tree.
I would be okay if he became Blake Griffin without injuries. Like, Blake Griffin was a great player if he didn't get hurt perennially. Like, but I don't want to see him become Aaron Gordon, where it's like you're this tweener that we don't really know what to do with. So everybody keeps trying to put him in a different situation. Like, oh, we're going to make him a spot-up shooter now. Oh, no, we're going to make him a ball handler. Oh, now we're going to make him a post-up player. Like, I want to see him find his niche in the NBA and be really great at it. Whatever that is, whether it's a pick-and-roll player, pick-and-pop player, whether it's as a post-up player, whatever the case may be, find his niche and be great at it. Because I think he has the tools to do whatever he really wants to do on the court. Okay. And I think Aaron Gordon does too. Like, Aaron Gordon can do whatever he wants to do on the court. People just keep trying to fit him somewhere different every single season.
Yeah.
So.
I definitely see that too. I would go with Lonzo Ball.
We never talked about that.
We never talked about it. Kendrick Perkins called
Lonzo. He balled out last night, though.
Two great games in a row.
Two great games in a row. Lonzo.
I give him that.
Kendrick Perkins
called. My baby Lakers.
Kendrick Perkins called Lonzo Ball a bust. I disagree wholeheartedly. I think because we've gotten so comfortable with players who come out one and done, or at least 2 years in, and they're ready to go, we forget that there's sometimes late bloomers. Notable late bloomers, Chauncey Billups, Steve Nash. Steve Nash didn't pop until his fifth season.
Gary Payton.
Gary Payton.
Kyle Lowry.
Exactly. So I honestly think, and Lonzo Ball could be a 6'5 Steve Nash.
But I don't think.
A better defending Steve Nash.
I don't think Lonzo Ball was necessarily a late bloomer. He was just put in a situation where it really wasn't meant for him to be successful.
And that could be the reason too.
So yeah, a change of scenery is always good for some people too.
That could be a reason to the situation too. But I would, and what I would want from Zoe is that he becomes more comfortable with holding the ball a little longer. When he gets rid of it and relocates, is smart basketball. It's almost like you can't be mad at him for moving without the ball. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not mad at you for that. But at the same time, there are many like moments where we watch him. It's like, where did he go?
Yeah,
like,
you're passive.
We can't find him on the court now. It's like he just hides off in the corner and he just hangs out there.
Right.
And if he doesn't have space to shoot, which he has improved greatly, in my opinion, like, his shot has changed from college to now. Like, it has changed dramatically.
The boy works.
And he's a worker. Like, wow. This is a real hooper. And so anybody calling him a bust, he's always attempted to answer all the questions to his game, and he's been doing so thus far. I need him to answer this next one. And that's being able to be comfortable with coming off the pick and roll and making decisions with the ball in his hands. Not necessarily just giving it up real quick. His P&R usage is
P-E-R?
No, pick and roll.
Oh.
How many times he actually like is involved in the pick and roll as the ball handler is in the 15th percentile.
And generally, sometimes it's like, he never ran pick Drew and roll Holiday is going to run
exactly.
through the
exactly.
Well, he never ran pick and roll until he got to the
NBA. Yeah. So, and I think that's the one thing where that's the next step for him.
Yeah.
Once he hits that and he's able to be comfortable with it and be aggressive and making those decisions out of it, not saying he has to be, you know, Dame or James Harden and do it like constantly throughout the entire game.
Just being able to do one.
Being
especially because the pick and roll situation with him and Zion.
If he goes from 15 to like maybe just a little bit, like a little bit higher.
I don't think you can be an NBA point guard that can't run.
Exactly.
Pick and roll.
Like, it's very hard to do. And that's what we're seeing right now. We're seeing him being shifted around the court, shifting to the off the starting lineup, to the bench, because he's coach trying to figure out like
where to put him.
Is he a two now? Is he a two? Because he's hitting jump shots. He plays great defense.
No, he's just a 6'5".
But he's not initiating the offense I would want him to initiate.
Yeah.
The way I would want him to do it at, rather. So I think that's the real shit.
That's a really good one.
And I think that's the way I want to see his game switch. He could definitely be the next Steve Nash. A better defending 6'5 Steve Nash.
I'm not going to go that far.
He could be.
I thought he could be the next me, but whatever.
I could see him being a Jason Kidd more, though, than a Steve Nash. Like, Jason Kidd.
I mean, that was his comparison coming out of
college. Exactly. Like, I've always thought that was a good comparison for him. Steve Nash was just way too good of a shooter. Like, yes, he's shooting better this year. He's still only shooting 35. He's still shooting 35%. I mean, he shot 33 last year. He's shooting 35 this year.
I mean,
it hasn't been that dramatic of an improvement. It's better. It looks better.
It looks a lot better.
But it's not better. That dramatic
but
of an
we
improvement.
We also have to take into account he's also been hurt on and off this season. And that's another thing I was
thinking. He's been hurt on and off every season.
And that's another thing.
Like, but in this moment, he did come out and say, he was like, I finally feel like I got my legs back.
That's true.
Yeah, I want him kind of like maintain ZO2s, his
man.
Health.
I need to see him go to the basket more. Like, that's my thing.
I think he goes to the basket.
Last night was one of the few times I'm like, yo, you're getting to the rim.
Nah, he goes to the basket. I think.
It's the fact
it's
that
weird.
It goes back to what you said. Like, I said a lot of times he's passive, and that's what it is. He's not aggressive when he has the ball in his hands, not driving downhill when he has the lane.
Facts.
it's more so like, I'm shooting this shot because I know I'm supposed to shoot this shot. Like, I'm open.
This is my last resort.
Yeah. Instead of like, hey, let me look for mine really quick, or like, I might be able to create something for myself. He's so busy trying to create for others. That's why when he goes without the ball, it looks like he's getting lost. Like, he'll just run around, you're moving without the ball, but he might not touch it for the rest of the possession. Yeah, it's because, like, yeah. Wait, you know, Greg, you touching me, you putting it up.
I mean, when he touches, he's putting it up, but
I mean,
he's very content to wait. He's very content to wait.
Because he knows when he's touching it, he's putting it up.
I'm not asking no questions when I get it. I'm not looking again. I passed it the first time. If it gets back to me, you know what the deal is. You shooting, boy. All right, man, let's get out of here.
Facts.
Anything else?
I don't think so.
Games good, look forward to?
Good day. Oh, dang. I don't even got the NBA schedule pulled up.
I don't either. I got my phone in my hand, too.
Boom, 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 boom.
I don't know.
Oh, man, ain't no good games tonight.
My Tar Heels took a hit, boy. We lost.
Yeah, we're it's not going to end well for us this year.
No, it's not a good season at all.
But we'll be all right next year. There are no good games tonight. Tomorrow, Knicks and Clippers. No good games tomorrow either. Sheesh. Monday. Man, this ain't looking like a good week.
Okay. All right.
I know, right? Like, I'm not saying nothing, man.
All right, let's get out of here then. No games.
Heat Pacers on Wednesday.
Heat Pacers.
Oh, Nuggets Mavericks on Wednesday. Heat Pacers on Wednesday. I like those.
There you go.
Okay, sheesh. Oh, hey. Celtics 76ers on Thursday.
Brian, where can we find you, family?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at OnlyOneBeecham. I'm easy to find because I'm the only one out there.
TK?
You find me at King Comments Mind, Instagram and Twitter. Yeah, that's where you can find me at.
Also, you can follow us on Twitch. We got our Pro-Am team up and going. Oh, so you want to see us play 2K?
Did he just name drop
OnlyOneBeecham? Twitch? You can follow us on Twitch.
I guess you can, guys. I mean,
want to see us play 2K?
Okay. Shout out Coach Lee. He's not here. But, you know, load management. Had to take a break. Had to go do what he had to do. K-O-A-C-H-L-E-E-K. That's on Twitter and Instagram. You follow me on Instagram at OneGreggy. On Twitter at GreggyChillin. You can follow the pod on Instagram at HoopsMinorPod. On Twitter at AminorInHoops. TK, send us home, man.
You can follow Dumb Man Keith. Can't ever forget Dumb Man Keith.
Can't.
Twitter, Instagram, LinkedIn, Experian,
Cash App,
the dark web, all of that. special shout outs, Taylor, Coop, Tet. I can see the repost again. They keep reposting the last pod. If you want to be shouted out, just repost. I'll even shout you on my personal and on the pod page. Just let me know. We appreciate all the love and support. Usually I got like a quick funny shout out, but I'm gonna get serious really quick. Special shout out to LaMelo Ball. He donated his month's salary for the, right. If you don't know, the entire continent of Australia is on fire right now.
Yeah.
Half a million animals have already died off. It's a really sad situation. We have to really get like our hand with the way that we treat nature and our planet. We got to get this right. So big shout out to LaMelo Ball for stepping up in the country that he's playing in right now and showing his support and solidarity to them. I hope Australia gets it right.
As I always say, man, eat, sleep, breathe the game. We love you. I'm out.
My bad, fellas. This man said, I hope the martyr that PTSD. Yeah.